Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever." When we read this verse, we can grasp the application of growing in knowledge. That's basically what we're trained to do from birth. But growing in grace is not so easily considered, so we may give little attention to it. Today, we will explore the life-changing power of God's grace and how we can grow in grace. So we invite you to join in the conversation to discover the wonderful gift of God's grace. Now, Janie, growing in knowledge is displayed as an example for us in many of the established systems that we function in today. We can see it in our school system, K through 12. We can see it in our college system. We see it in our career. You know, you work your way up, starting from the ground floor. These are all growing in knowledge themes. But growing in grace is not so easily explained.
Well, Sharon, you showed us from 2 Peter 3:18 the necessity of growing in grace because it's connected with knowledge. And as you pointed out, we spend really the first 25 years of our children's lives teaching them and equipping them in knowledge so that they will know how to function in life.
Right.
And grace is connected with that knowledge. So I love to go back and just stand on the principles of understanding the scriptures. So in 2 Peter 3:18, it's been talking about future things and about what's going to happen. But it's preparing us so that we can now know how to function in looking towards what the future is going to hold for us, which is what we do with education, getting trained for the job and the career. So I'm just going to go over to 2 Peter, and the context that we have here is that we need to be diligent, and we need to allow God's peace to be with us. We need to know how to be long-suffering, and that we are to have wisdom that we get from the Scriptures. And then it says, having all of that, then we need to know that we must be aware that we can fall from what we have learned. And that's in verse 17. And it says that we need to be steadfast. And, you know, we talk about the steadfast love of the Lord and how much we need to have that for our assurance.
Right.
Well, in life, we need to have made choices to be steadfast, so that we don't fall away from that and then be led away in the error of the wicked.
Oh, okay.
And so for that reason, we need grace.
Yeah.
With our knowledge.
Well, I tell you, Janie, something that I noticed in the scriptures that really helped me is that 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in grace and knowledge, is available to us because of 1 Peter 3:18. And it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit."
Well, that verse tells me that out of death there is life. Death is simply separation from the life of God. Because life is life with the Father that has life, and that is grace.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that shows God's love for us. And without love, there is no grace. Because grace and love are connected.
And grace is free for the taking. We don't have to spend thousands of dollars on learning grace like we do on our education.
Yes.
And the Lord wanted us to know and understand what grace is.
Well, you know, Janie, some of what I see the church doing today is that we read the scriptures for the knowledge. And I think that's because we're trained in attaining knowledge. So we look at the Bible as a history book, and we see all the things that were taking place culturally. But we don't think about the grace part of growing in that knowledge, to take it from our head to our heart, and the application of displaying God's grace and His love through the knowledge that we attain from His Word.
Sharon, we have a tendency to just take grace, the word grace, for granted. But you know, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, didn't. He opens up each of his letters with grace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. And Sharon, it's delightfully assuring that to the church at Corinth, which was one of the most carnal, selfish churches that was alive in New Testament times. In fact, you know, Sharon, if you wanted to call somebody a dirty name, you called them a Corinthian. That would be like using cuss words today that we have when we really want to tell you about how much we think someone is stupid or worthless or immoral.
Well, we're almost to that point where Christianity has become a dirty word.
Well, you're right there. And yet Paul is aware. He knows who he had been, the legalist, the Pharisee, the kill people his way for the glory of the Old Testament God.
Right.
And yet as he has seen the Father, he now makes every letter opening up with the grace. And then he closes his letters with grace. We read those and we don't even think that there's anything to teach on the word grace. Well, it's just there. It's a salutation is what I'm told.
Yeah.
Or it's the closing of the letter. But grace is, and I'm going to keep saying this over and over today, it is free for the taking. It is free to be able to see when you are being assaulted on the job. When another child of God is behaving in a way that is very hurtful and is breaking your heart, but grace is still there. Mm. When the marriage is on the rocks and you don't know how to solve it and you're desperate, grace is still there.
But you know, we say that in a way that grace is always coming to us and it's free for our taking, but it's also free for our giving.
Well, and when we have understood about the receiving of grace, Sharon, it makes it pretty easy to give it back.
Yeah.
But grace is manifested in so many different ways. And as I was reading in my devotions today, Sharon, all of a sudden, something I've known for 50 years brought me to tears because of His grace.
Okay.
So here is what Paul is making known as one of the aspects of unlimited grace. And it tells us in Colossians that we, the Gentiles, the church, we're not Jews. And so he's talking between the Jews and the Gentiles. He said, there's a mystery, and it's been hidden from all of the past ages until now. But he wanted to show his grace to the church of Jesus Christ that was being built.
Okay.
And so he says, now this mystery that's been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. That's us. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sharon, grace for this age knows what it is to have the person, the living God, residing in them by His Spirit. The Old Testament saints didn't have that.
Yeah.
They had to get an appointment through Moses or through Abraham to speak to the Lord, or through the Levitical priesthood.
Right.
All right?
Right.
New Testament saints have this as an exclusive gift. It'll be different in time future. But Sharon, when we meditate on the way He has chosen to say, I will be for you. So what's grace now to the church? Well, it's access to Him in His private domain, the throne, 24/7.
And boy, don't we take that for granted.
Do you know what it's like to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning after a bad dream and your brain's trying to think, that was a dream, but it feels like it was really happening, and you have anxiety, or you think about the day that's going to happen in another few hours, and you're thinking, it's impossible to get through my responsibilities?
Well, I tell you, Janie, also, maybe I've made a bad choice or a bad decision, and to have the availability, the privilege, the honor to take that to my Heavenly Father, the Creator, who knows my innermost being, who knows my heart.
Sharon, I'm reminded when John F. Kennedy was in the White House and little John, his little son, ran freely. And anytime he wanted to come get on his daddy's lap in the great oval room, he just came in because Dad was there at the desk.
Okay.
He had that freedom with his father. And we have the exclusive freedom in a much greater room than the White House of the U.S. to go to the throne of the God and say, I'm anxious right now. And I don't have to wait for an appointment, talk to a pastor or even a friend.
Yeah,
I can talk to you. We need to just meditate on what he is doing.
And there has to be some sort of, you know, trust factor. If you think about John and the way he, you know, ran down the hall and just burst in the door and jumped on his daddy's lap, no matter who was there, nobody was more important than little John coming and sitting on his daddy's lap. That had to make little John feel like he could trust his dad.
What I love about that picture is, you know, President Kennedy could have been negotiating life-giving strategies for the whole world. But little John didn't care. He was just in his daddy's arms. And are we the same way, Sharon?
Yeah.
We know that negotiations are going on today, but are we safe in our father's arms?
Right.
Abba Father, even though we may not have the security of sitting in his lap, we do have the assurance of dwelling with him in the innermost of his heart.
And we don't have to be frantic or scared or in turmoil or upset about the situations and circumstances that are going on around us because we are in our daddy's arms.
Well, and you know what? This is a good subject to talk about with grace, because there are some things that grace does not cover. And, you know, we've always said grace covers it all, the good and the bad and the not so good. Well, in principle, that is true, because grace is available to us 24/7.
Okay.
But even though it's available to us, it can't operate in us if we expect grace to take all the trouble out of our human life.
Okay. Can you explain that?
Well, what if we have people that are not kindly towards us, and they lash out with their tongue with criticism and harshness? Grace is not necessarily going to protect us from somebody else's bad attitude. Mm-hmm. Grace is not going to keep somebody from not resenting us.
Okay.
We know that grace has removed the Christian from the wrath of God. But we are not necessarily removed from the wrath of man.
Okay.
And we see the wrath of man in full blown
display.
Yes, that's a good word. And it's to the point that it scares you to think that you could be a victim of some of that.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has promised us, though, that no matter what we go through, that he will keep the heart calm and tranquil, even amongst the worst of strifes and storms. But Sharon, there's a couple of other things that we need to just stop and think about, and that is grace doesn't cover if to somebody being jealous towards us or us being jealous. And, you know, that can be in home life.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to be able to offer grace in a soft answer, which turns away wrath.
Right.
But sometimes a soft answer is hard to handle when your spouse or your children are making unreasonable demands or being so ultra passive and thinking mom can do it. Mom's cleaning, mom's cooking, mom's doing this and that. Well, you know, we're going to sit around, we're going to do our games and we're going to do our TV and we're going to do what makes us feel good. And mom has to be sure that her grace can still be exercised to them, even though they may not be returning that.
Yeah. And I think that's the part that is difficult for all of us, not just moms, but all of us, when we don't receive grace from others, that we have a tendency to not extend grace back. You know, when one reacts, the other one reacts to the other one's reaction instead of responding
with
a soft answer.
There you go.
Right.
The reacting versus the responding, which is the correct way. And then, Sharon, it's something that really hurts so bad. And so often it's hard to express it because another person may not be aware that they are being insensitive. Mm-hmm. And because they don't like something about you, they'll pull backward. They'll withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that something's wrong.
Right.
They won't give you a direct look in the eye. They'll snub you. And you know they're snubbing you, but they're just acting too busy with someone else. And again, let me jump in here quickly. Don't let the enemy bring a suspicious mind.
Right.
Because grace will not cover suspicion, because suspicion is a tool of the enemy.
Okay, so you're saying that you know that they're acting busy or whatever, but isn't that being suspicious? If they are not being overtly. So how do you balance that?
Oh,
how do you balance being suspicious?
I am so glad you asked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Woohoo! I get a point.
Because you are not there to judge, but you can discern. The Spirit will give you discernment that person is really avoiding you.
Okay.
But the gift of discernment, which we can have when we are really exercising grace and living in the power of the resurrection, you discern. And at wanting to discern, then your desire is to produce the solution. You know you can't produce it in your own strength, but you know the Holy Spirit has a solution, and that He indwells you, and He can give you the heart's desire to discern for solution.
Right.
Not to judge for criticism.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. Yes. So we can't lash out at them based on the fact that they are avoiding us, that we still extend grace because grace is extended to us from our Father. So we extend grace to our siblings, to those around us. And so many times we retaliate rather than giving the grace and being humble and accepting our position of being, what is it, persecuted. We call that persecution, right? In our society today, if you feel wronged, then you feel persecuted.
And Sharon, something that is, we're bouncing back and forth what grace does and does not. We need to remember that sometimes, painfully so, if two or three people are making the same assumptions or expressing the same issue, that it may be God calling and saying, you're blind here. And I'm allowing other people to surround you that are causing you pain.
Right.
Because I want you to be aware that you're blind in this spot.
Well, and that goes back to allowing our flesh to be crucified, keeping it fenced off, and living that resurrected life. Because of the cross, we have the gift of grace.
Well, sometimes we do abuse grace in our own ignorance. And then if someone does make things known to us, then we need to let grace abound back and withdraw whatever that is. It could be something in my personality. It could be that you talk too much or you are too quick to respond.
Right.
And so you jump in and make an opinion. There are things that grace is there for you, but grace is not going to protect you from your own selfishness.
Right, right.
Okay. Whether it is accidentally intended or whether it is purposely planned.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes sense. God has provided grace from the beginning, and it continues today that we have grace. He has given us the gift of grace. And grace must be passed on to others. Just as we are supposed to reflect God's character, His grace is part of who He is.
And His grace is really made known in us being Christ-focused. That's what He wants. That's what His grace is all about, so that we will know Him and then walk in His likeness.
Right.
And, you know, if we don't keep the cross before us and the grace that was accomplished for us at the cross, Satan and the flesh will awaken in your pride.
Oh.
Which will then pave the way for eventual defeat.
Right.
So to abuse grace, and sometimes I've seen in the scripture where Paul says that the grace may not be in vain, that his preaching and teaching may not be in vain, that the grace would not be listened to.
Well, and you have Romans 6 where it talks about, should we continue in sin so that grace abounds? Certainly not. We trample grace underfoot, claiming grace while walking in sin on purpose. And that is not what grace is all about.
The whole chapter of Romans 6 really lets us know the position that grace wants to operate in. And grace has already been giving to us, and that is in understanding how to live the resurrected life. We know that that comes from accepting the work of the cross. And so here's what I want to tell you what grace really does for us.
Okay.
Because of grace, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed cut us off from sin, from the sin nature, rendered it powerless.
Uh-huh.
But the cross also, in grace, cuts us off from ourselves, our flesh. We no longer are bond slaves to the ugliness of who we are apart from Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And then grace also gives us the power of His name. His name, the name of Jesus Christ, sets us free, but it is the power that is used when we need to fight the enemy. And the enemy has been defeated at the cross, as we said earlier, and by using His name to battle the enemy. And how do we use His name? We can claim the name in prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that the enemy is defeated, and I stand in the power of Your name against him that brought defeat.
Right.
And so we use the name of Jesus Christ to battle against the enemy. Sometimes we use the blood of Jesus Christ, but the blood of Jesus Christ was really taking care of us and our sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really three things that happen. We get the old nature taken care of, we get the flesh taken care of, and we get a weapon to use against the enemy, all because of the cross that was given to us by His grace.
But if we don't walk in that, Janie, then the devil just laughs at us in our efforts to overthrow his strongholds.
And you know what? I know we're not supposed to get angry, but I do get angry at myself or any other one that chooses to abuse grace. We don't have a reality of what our sin costs the Lord to have to hang there on the cross in the worst kind of death that any humanity could know.
Yeah.
And we need to have a renewal in what grace has done in overcoming us from the depths of the death that Jesus Christ had to go through for us.
That's right. Right. And that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHarts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.